Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Noonday Bible Study. We are so excited that you have tuned in. You are in the building, and we are here to learn more and more about God's Word. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
We are so grateful to God for His mercy and His grace. Hallelujah. Bringing us here one more time. Hallelujah. So many people did not wake up this morning. So we don't want to take it for granted, amen, that we are here. Amen. We didn't get here by our alarm clock, but His finger of love that touched us this morning and woke us up, and only not only that, but in our right mind, use and activity our limbs. Hallelujah. We are so excited about what God is going to do, what we're going to hear from His Word today, what the Spirit is going to let us know. Amen. Even reveal to us, amen, some revelation about His Word today. And we look forward to that. To all of you who are there, who have tuned in, we're so glad that you're here. And those who are in the building, we're so glad that you came out, amen, to just find out more and more about God. Because the more we know about Him, the more we love Him, the more we love Him, the more we can share Him. Amen. So we're going to open in prayer, Sister Ollie, and then we will go and give a recap on where we are in the book of Acts, the 25th chapter. Go get that now. Find it in your Bible and get ready. Sister Ollie.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And, Lord, we do not take it for granted. We come before you thanking you, Lord, because you're a big God, Father, and you're so worthy to be praised, Father. We come before you, Father, and we ask, Father, that you begin to break yokes, Father.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Even in the building, Father. Even through the airways, Father.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
That you let your anointing fall, Father, that we can rightly divide the word of truth, Father. Lord, we brought you with us, Father. We just didn't wait till we came in the building, Father.
Hallelujah.
But you are with us, Father. And, Lord, we just ask you to just show out, Father, like never before. Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Lord, you bless this Bible study.
Yes,
Father.
Lord. Yes,
Lord. Lord, we don't come here for show, Father.
No, Lord.
Lord, we come here because we love you.
Yes.
And we love your people, Father.
Yes. Yes.
And, Lord, we want to grow in you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you so much, Father.
Thank you,
we ask you that you bless those who are on their way, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Those who are trying to get in, Father. They may be at work, Father. We ask that you bless those who may be sick and dying, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Those who, Father, have a decision that needs to be made.
Yes.
And they just don't know which direction to go,
God.
Father. We ask that you
move right now, God. Move right now, God.
Right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Lord, you said in your word, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul, Father?
Yes, yes.
Lord, we just want to be for real on today.
Yes, Lord.
And we love you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
In your name, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Awesome. Amen. Awesome. What an awesome day to be alive. Amen. What an awesome day to be able to give God glory and praise. Thank God for all of you out there. Amen. All of you are in here. We are so grateful. We finally got to chapter 25. Chapter 25. Amen. 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 And so we see how God and by the power of the Holy Ghost is moving among his people and using Paul in such a great way. And so we find Paul now in the latter part of chapter 24 where he's in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can call Paul a jailbird. I think he's been in jail more than anybody else. Anybody else I know. So we can't be ashamed of sometime going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Dr. Martin Luther King and his followers and all those, they went to jail so many times they couldn't hardly keep record. But they had been gone for a purpose, for doing a crime, but for standing up for what they believe is right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that Paul is doing the same thing. And so he's in front of this tribune
where Felix is the one who's he's conducting this trial, and so this tribune is still curious of why these Jewish leaders want Paul dead. They're trying to figure out these. I mean, these Romans want to know why these people, the Jewish people, leaders want Paul dead, and so they request Felix to undercover the truth. And the high priest and some elders and even high spokesmen arrived in Caesarea. We know they hired that silver-tongued lawyer that came and made his presentation and all that. And so now 5 days later, present a case before Felix. But the Jews from Asia didn't show up. The ones who accused him, they ain't showed up. And so the whole thing about having a court or a hearing is for your accuser to be faced by the accuser, right? And so the only time you don't want to face your accuser is when you know you ain't got nothing to present. And so they weren't there, so the governor delayed the decision until this tribune arrived, or until Paul offered some sufficient bribe. That's Felix, now he wants some money. And so the bribe never came, and Felix leaves Paul in the custody for 2 years. And then, you know, I was trying to figure out, during this 2 years, did he write any of the, was he writing any of the epistles? And so I went in search, and I couldn't find where any of the epistles that he wrote when he was in Caesarea. But he wrote some when he was in Rome and, you know, Macedonia and other places. But 2 years he spent in prison without a cause. They had no judgment against him, nothing against him, but he was in jail, and he kept silent. Not like some of us, we would be crying and doing all kind of stuff, why me, Lord, and all this stuff. But we see where Paul stayed steadfast and continued to do what God had him to do, and he was led by the Spirit of God, and he wasn't led by nothing, what was going on, or what his flesh was telling him to do. He didn't do any of that. And so now we see where Festus succeeded Felix as the governor, and Paul's pending case is one of the first, was his first concern. And the Jewish leadership met Festus in Jerusalem and asked him to bring Paul to Caesarea. So we're going to stop there, because the 25th chapter is where we're going to start with verse 1, and we see where Festus just took over the governorship, and the first thing on his docket, the first thing on his agenda is to deal with Paul, because, I mean, they made it so so bad that the governor who comes into office, he didn't even, they said that he didn't even get a chance to settle in. But he had to deal with this situation by Paul. Because we know we had these people that came from Jerusalem, who 40 of them was on a fast to make sure that Paul is killed. Mm-hmm. You know that's some hate when somebody won't eat no food to make sure you die. But God is so good in his mercy. And so now we're going to start at verse chapter 25, and this is where Felix is taking over after this. Festus is taking over from Felix. Mm-hmm. So we're going to Elder Davis, you're going to read verse 1, 2, and 3.
Now, when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him, mm-hmm, and deserved favor against him, that he would send him to Jerusalem, land in wait to kill him. Now, here's Festus. He's been in office 3 days, and here come the leaders of the Jews, him for favor, telling him things about Paul and asking that he
he was sent to Jerusalem and so they can lay in wait to kill him, so they can ambush him. This guy just got in office, just became the president, and before he could get in, cabinet members are telling him, "This better watch this guy," because I imagine they didn't have any credible reasons for having him killed. They just didn't like, because they were always butting heads. So they wanted Paul out of here. They wanted Paul gone. So now they're trying to get Festus to do what Felix did do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, I wrote down when I was looking at that, it says new Lord, small L with a S, new laws, new customs. Mm-hmm. But here was a new governor, yet Paul had the same treatment that he had from before. No better, Festus like Cephas is not so just to him as he should have been, for he does not release him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes when somebody new come on the scene, mm-hmm. he's like, oh, things are going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But seems like it get worse
mm-hmm.
instead of getting better. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the way we look at things sometimes. Paul is in a worse situation now than he probably was in before.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul is still trusting in God. Paul is not leaning to the left nor to the right. His eyes is still, you know, on the Lord.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we see Festus now, 3 days. After 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him. I mean, when they say besought him now, they went to plead with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they still want Paul dead. Oh, my goodness. I'm reminded of that threat that came to light of the world not too long ago. But we see no matter what the devil try to plot against us, God will protect you no matter what. And if God got you protected, no devil in hell can ever get to you. And so it is not the regular folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's people with power, people in high office. That's why we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness. And so we see where these Jewish leaders have gotten this thing the same.
Mm.
Hate, the same hate they had against Jesus,
mm-hmm.
They're doing the same thing. Now they're coming against Paul, and they desire now, and they planning. People will be scheming against you.
Yeah.
And you don't even know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Paul had no clue what they were doing. He just know he was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But the devil will be scheming against you,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't matter. Because if God for us, who can be against us? And I heard Bishop Ruth say, who care who's against us? If God be for us, who care who's against us?
Yeah.
And so, but we got to know. Paul, and that's why Paul was able to write so many epistles,
mm-hmm.
because he experienced a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he can say, be content no matter what condition you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to be content. Because he could have been he said, learn to be content. He was like saying, hey, listen, he don't care who he go in front of.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to preach the gospel because he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the power of God unto salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to say these things in these
yeah.
epistles because of his experience with God.
That's right.
And so God would give us what to say, but if we have no experience with God, we ain't got nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we want to rattle things off our lips, but when you have experienced God
mm-hmm.
in the depths of what he can do for you,
mm-hmm.
oh, my God, words will come out of you. You'll be surprised your own self.
That's right.
Because so Paul, these folks are lying in wait,
mm-hmm.
setting a trap.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, send him to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Send him on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
he ain't going to get there, but you send him there. And so people will be plotting against you. They can be in the choir with you. They can be on the deacon board with you. They can be in your house. They can be in your school. Mm-hmm. No matter what, people will be plotting against you.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter what they do.
Mm.
If God be for us.
You know, just so what you made out of,
mm-hmm.
you have some strong faith. Because with all of them going against him like that, I'm sure it was rough. So Paul has to have some strong faith.
Amen.
And, you know, it's easy. I'm going to use myself. It's easy for me to get up in church when I'm going through saying that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go out there, I can't even stand.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it really shows the true artist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. So we should learn today that no matter what our condition is, that if God be for us, he's going to take care of us no matter who's plotting against
us.
And
right.
The devil is always, if you are living
mm-hmm.
holy,
mm-hmm.
the devil hates when you get up.
Mm-hmm.
And he set assignments out and it's with his imps or whatever
mm-hmm.
to try to get you,
mm-hmm.
to stop you from doing, because anytime you're awake,
mm-hmm.
You're a threat to him. Anytime you get out of your bed and you got a heart to please God,
mm-hmm.
you are a threat to Satan.
Always.
And so he's going to be plotting against you.
Sure
know. But we can't be moved by his plot.
Mm-mm.
We just got to stay steadfast.
Yes.
And do what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is demonstrating, I think, more Christians to demonstrate.
Mm-hmm.
Paul has his mind made up. Know that old song says, you don't know, you wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know when, you don't know where.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what the Lord told
me. Mm-hmm.
So when they knocked him off his horse,
mm-hmm.
I think Paul made up his mind, I don't have to get knocked off my horse
mm-hmm.
twice
mm-hmm.
for me to learn my lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us mm-hmm. have to go through the same
knocked down
over and over,
over again
and then
mm-hmm.
figure out, why do I keep having the same problem?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you haven't learned your lesson
from the first one. Mm-hmm.
Paul said, you know, knock me off my horse.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He's demonstrating. That's why they chose this excerpt to put in the Bible about
mm-hmm.
Paul
mm-hmm.
to show us how to live in this world and be challenged and still come out victorious.
Victorious.
By the word
mm-hmm.
of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So let's go to verse. Those of you out there in Radio Land, press 1 so we can bring you live if you want to be a part, if you want to discuss. And I know some of y'all at work, but if you want to be a part of this a lesson today with discussion, press 1. Amen. We see we have somebody from Illinois. Dr. Fair, how you doing?
I am blessed. How about yourself?
Great, great.
Any
comment?
Paul gives us an example of several things in my mind. Two things that come to my mind was, okay, each time he was in prison, his faith got stronger and stronger. We have a term today that we call jailhouse religion, where people just say just to appease and please the higher-ups in the jail. But once they get out, they turn right back to their ways. And the same thing, Paul illustrates also that no matter what happened to him, he got stronger. But it makes me wonder how many times God sees us coming out of services when we should be stronger and on fire, and yet we're cold Christians.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, on fire. Yeah. That's what we've been talking about.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Fair.
Amen. Ford.
Yes, Pastor, I'm here.
Okay. We see we are Grace today with our bishop is on the line. Amen. So we thank God for her presence. Amen. Being with us today. We see we have Leon from New York on the line. And so we thank God for all of you. So we're going to enjoy and we want to feed and we want to get everything we can out of this word so we can stand and we can against the violence of the devil. So let's go for Pete. You want to do verse 4 and 5?
Hey man, I have the New American Standard.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 4. Festus then answered that Paul was being kept in custody at Caesarea and that he himself was about to leave shortly. Therefore, he said, let the influential men among you go there with me. And if there is anything wrong about the man, let them prosecute him. So, so in some of my reading, it was saying because he was newly installed, so to speak, Festus now was a governing force, but he wanted to do something too. As his first act in office, not only just to please the Jews, I'm saying he wanted to please the Jews, and he wanted to make, you know, some kind of a interest about himself, and here's this thing's been ongoing for a long time, a couple of years. But, you know, one thing about the enemy, he doesn't forget. He wants to steal Fester up. He would accuse you until death do you part, you know, but he can wag his tongue all he wants because if it's a lie and not the truth, it's still going to come to naught. But what one thing he did, Fester, he said, now, okay, all of you people who are accusing, I may be new at this thing, but I'm not going here by myself. If you're the ones that have access, have accused me, he said, no, y'all going to go and you're going to show up too. Mm-hmm. And then let me hear what it is that he has said about this particular man.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Any comments up here?
Oh.
Any other comments out there? So we see yes, sir?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that with faith comes a great deal of patience. And I say this because if Festus wanted to really do the right thing, according to Roman law, and Paul was a Roman citizen, after 2 years of not being given a trial with no specific accusations to prove him being guilty, technically Paul should have been set free. But because this is all about politics and power, Festus did the same thing that Felix did, that Pontius Pilate did, and that is keep an innocent man in prison. So Festus took over and went from Caesarea down to Jerusalem to hear what the complaint was. He, as Sister Elder Heath just said, found out what was wrong, but said, listen, we're going back to Caesarea, and if this man is truly guilty, you come back up there with me, and let's have this trial. So he was playing both ends of the stick, keeping an innocent man in prison to appease the Jews, but at the same time, God's power is reigning with his protection over Paul, in that he is a Roman citizen and he has certain rights. He has been in a jail situation for 2 years, which gave him enough time to rest and recuperate, because remember, he's just coming off of 3 long, hard missionary journeys. So now he's back to full strength and capacity and ready and rearing to go to defend himself. So now we're at the point, well, let's get it on. Let's go back to Caesarea, and if you men have something to bring against this man, I'm giving you an opportunity to bring your best arguments against him. And now we'll see which this will go and how far Paul will be protected by his faith in God.
Amen.
Amen. I think it's also a good thing, too, that Paul was still requesting this a hearing, this court session, because if he had come in under Festus, and after Festus said, well, I don't know, there's been no charges, it's been 2 years, I think I'm going to just take my liberty and set you free.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's all they had to do was find Paul out there and say he escaped.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, lay in wait to kill him. And I just, my mind just think back at, you know, maybe during our history and slavery time, and many one that's, you know, they had to carry papers that they were set free. They just couldn't be roaming around out there and have people, you know, kill them. But nonetheless, he said, no, you arrested me publicly? Then publicly I'm going to have a trial and it's going to be said that I did nothing wrong.
Awesome.
So Festus now rebuttal against what the Jews wanted. They wanted him to send Paul back to Jerusalem so they can kill him, right?
Yeah.
But he said, no, we ain't doing that. And so even though Festus don't even know what's going on, he don't understand the Jewish law. He's not like Felix. Felix had the privilege of being married to a Jewish girl, so he knew the Jewish customs. He knew all the stuff, but Festus didn't know none of that. He wanted to do what he thought was the right thing to do. So he said, no, we're not going to do that, because what the law is that if then you accuse anybody, you need to face, the person need to face the accused. And so he said, no, all of you who are devout and y'all know so much and y'all got so much proof against him, come and face him. Let's go. Come with me and let's go and let's get this settled here, because this man just got an office.
Mm-hmm.
And here you got to deal with this kind of stuff. You want to, I mean, when you get an office, you want to deal, you want what they call, transition power, whatever, a smooth transition. Everybody want a smooth transition, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now here he comes in order, in office, and this commotion going on.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff left on the table, this man's life is being held, so now he wants to get this taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Let's deal with this, and let's get this taken care of. And then now you have to understand that it's all God orchestrated.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we see, everything we hear is all what God is doing. Even for the Jews wanting to kill him, it's God orchestrated. And so that's why Paul was not moved. And he is not moved by the threats on his life or whatever, because he knows that he is in the will of God. And as we say before, the safest place you can be is in the will of God. And so Paul know that he is in the will of God. He's not even saying a word. But God is doing everything. He's working behind the scenes. God is working behind the scenes. So when people are trying to wish you would die, would wish you would just, I mean, won't even exist, God is working behind the scenes on your behalf.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That makes me want to run around the church. Because you don't have to worry about your protection. God got you.
Got it.
And nothing can happen to you until God allow it to. And he's only going to do it for him to get glory out of it.
Yeah.
He's going to get glory out of it.
You know, while you was talking, this right here came to mind. Now, Felix left a mess for Fester to clean up. And sometimes when people leave a mess and someone new come on board, we feel like, hey, clean it up in a hurry. But then again, we put other people's life at stake because we want to clean up in a hurry. But what I do admire about Fester, he said, oh, no, I'm not a people controller. I just got here, you know. I'm just not going to go by what you all are saying.
Yes.
Just because the majority of you all are saying this and that, I got to see this for myself. You know how sometimes people come to you and say, don't associate with Sister Holland because she this and that. You may say, no, I need to get to know her for myself, you know. But you got lots of people, they go along with any and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, he said, oh, no, I need to examine this situation for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God was using the favor on Paul's life, right there.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. It just makes me think of, I've never been in this situation, but I've heard tell of churches where, you know, pastors have left, or they might have been, you know, on left on their own, or maybe even been ousted. But a new one, they with the interviews of the new one, they could smooth everything and make it look good. But once the pastor get in there and find all this stuff, I don't know. Maybe somebody listening has to, they could share along that line. But I thank God that wherever God sent me, it was where God sent me. You know, so, but there, I have heard that some, you know, have been acting as the, whatever it is, the acting, you know, pastor, everybody just waiting on them, everything looks good until you actually get in there, and then there's all this stuff that you didn't know anything about going on.
A lot of stuff that you don't know, because the surface always looks good.
Mm-hmm.
You get down deep down, and then you find a whole bunch of stuff. Stuff is going on. So we see now where Festus, he's not trying to take sides.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to get this thing resolved. So he said, "Come on, y'all, come with me." And so y'all can present your case. And so he said, "Go down with me and accuse this man, and see if there be any wickedness in him." So, Festus ain't saying he's a wicked man. But the Jews saying, yeah, he a wicked man. He done caused all this trouble and all this kind of stuff. He done defiled the temple. He done bring some Gentiles in the temple. He done done all this stuff. But Festus is saying, now, let's prove out whether this is the wickedness is in him.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the devil always gonna try to find something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
So Sister Ali, do verse 6 and 7.
Okay, I'll be reading from the Easter. Festus stayed for another 8 or 10 days in Jerusalem. Then he returned to Caesarea. On the next day, he sat down on his special seat as judge. He said to his soldier, bring Paul here. You said 7-2?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the Jewish leader had also come from Jerusalem when Paul came into the room, and they all stood around him. They began to speak to Festus against Paul. They said that he had done very many bad things, but they could not show Festus that these things was really true. Okay, Festus will stay there in Jerusalem 8 to 10 days. Okay, I'm giving y'all a chance to, you know, get the things together. Then he decided, hey, let me just go on back to Caesarea, and he told them to bring Paul to him. Okay, here comes some of the Jews, and they said, wait a minute. See, you don't know this man like we do. He all did a lot of bad things. Matter of fact, what you just repeated earlier, he all did a lot of bad things. Just let us tell you. We can tell you all about what done took place. See, when someone new come on the ship, then the enemy, oh, yeah, he's going to make your situation look really, really, really bad. And don't dare say one word, because you're going to make it even worse.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say.
Oh God, I tell you, it's amazing how the devil would plan stuff against you, but all the time God is working on your behalf. Because now we know Paul is so confident and what God told him that night when he came to him and said, listen, I told you you need to come to Jerusalem, and now you got to go to Rome.
Yep.
So Paul already knows ain't nothing going to happen to him. Because he got to go to Rome.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what happens in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
If God said it,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be.
It's going to be.
And so that's why you don't hear Paul complaining. You don't hear him doing nothing because he already knows.
Mm-hmm.
God said, God came to him in the midst of being in jail, in the midst of being beaten, and told him, listen, I brought you here to Jerusalem to give you a testimony. Now you got to go to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul now, that's what, when God tell us something, and he speak to us, we should hold his word so dear that no matter what the circumstances look like or don't look like, we got to trust his word anyway, in spite of what's going on. I mean, if God tell you, he promised you, he gonna give you a house that you ain't got to pay for, and you know you ain't got nothing in your bank account, and your credit is 200. Things are kind of dull.
Oh,
but you
got to
trust what God says. If he said it, it's got to come to pass. And so no matter what the enemy will stir up against you, it doesn't matter. God will bring you through. I mean, they're stirring up. Now they're trying to get Festus' mind all twisted. They had Felix going. Now they're trying to get Festus' mind. Oh, this man is wicked. And all he says is come to Jerusalem to prove me. I mean, come to come back to Israel to prove the wickedness he did. But what they're doing now, all they got is words. And know when people come to you and say, you know, even your kids will come to you, Mama, so-and-so did this, hurt my feelings. So what'd they say? They can't say what was said. What did they do to hurt your feelings? But they just hurt my feelings. Well, what did they say? They just hurt my feelings. But they can't say what was done because they ain't got no proof that it was really something that really hurt their feelings. And so these people now ain't have no proof. And Paul did no wickedness. And so all they're doing is saying, yeah, he bad. So what do you do? He just bad.
Right.
And so the devil would try to bring up stuff against you, but if you live right and please God, no matter what he come up with,
can't do nothing against you.
Oh my God, it won't stand. A lie won't stand. A lie would not stand. So just do the right thing, no matter what, and have great integrity. So no matter what, when somebody come against you, whatever they say is going to be a lie.
And you know, it's so ironic how when we are doing what we're supposed to be doing for God, we are troublemakers, we do bad things. But when Paul was out there killing everybody, wasn't nobody complaining.
Come on.
But now we are complaining because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing for God. The key is when the Lord tells me or anyone to do something, the key is make sure I'm listening. And make sure just because someone in high places said I need to go back to Jerusalem, that I don't make a U-turn and make the wrong mistake and go back. I'm the only one that can mess up, but God has predestined for me. So, you know, that's very important.
Good point.
That is great. Because we can get there. But we can allow that to happen to us. And come in.
It's very important that we understand and know what it is that God is saying to us. And a lot of times we as a people, we may walk in some type of fear of not saying or not doing something that we know that God is saying to do. But the key is, if you just do what God say do, it will lift that burden off of your shoulders and I'll bring you to a place of peace. And when we talk about Paul, Paul was definitely on the Lord's side. When he became on the Lord's side, he was on the Lord's side. And so a lot of times we need to make sure that we stay on the Lord's side. So whatever is said, whatever is done, it is what you know that God is saying to say or do. And so it's very important that we understand that. Because God is good, and if he done told you that you're going to end up in New York City, but you're in Atlanta, so can't too much happen to you. You're not going to die, even though you realize that folks trying to kill you on this side. You're not going to die over here in Atlanta. Why? Because he had already told you you're going to end up doing something in New York. So, therefore, if you already know that you trust God, the key is trusting God.
Amen.
Trusting God. And Pastor Butterfield and I are going to be teaching during the Holy Convocation, and the subject matter is going to be next level discipleship. And I'm telling you, we already were looking at next level evangelism. We was on a meeting on Saturday. Bishop Ruth was talking about some of the stuff that how we're going to, like, how things are moving now, doing it differently from what we've been doing in the past. And I could just see that we're going to be doing so much for the Lord, and God is really going to get the glory.
Yeah, yeah.
And so everything that we do for God and we give him the glory, he going to continue to bless us. He's going to continue to bless the light of the world. He's going to continue to bless the people at the light of the world. He's going to continue to bless other people as well, because we are like, just like with this week, we're going for prayer over at Jackson Church for Streetlight Friday night. And so we want, if you can't go, then let's pray. Let's be praying that the Streetlight ministry, the evangelism, Streetlight ministry that we do on the 23rd, 423, that it be successful, because this is a call of God. It is something that God is saying to do. So we're all on one accord to go and get it done. And so I think with Paul and with us as well, if we keep our mind on Jesus, keep our mind on God to do his will and his way, I believe we're going to make it to the other side. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And when we see the the predicament that Paul gets into,
mm-hmm.
There's no accident or no something that just happened, because Ananias was told before he laid hands on Paul to give him his sight back,
mm-hmm.
that he's going to suffer
mm-hmm.
for my name's sake.
Mm-hmm.
God already told him. The suffering was part of his mandate too.
mm-hmm.
He was going to preach and go and spread the gospel
mm-hmm.
to the Gentiles, but part of that was suffering too.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Paul didn't escape on no end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, beaten, left for dead, I mean, stoned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he got it. And
mm-hmm.
so the things that he did to the Jews, went up to the believers when they first believed in Jesus, and was killing people, pulling people out of houses,
mm-hmm.
and then, I mean, women and men. I mean, he was just doing what he thought was doing right, but now he's suffering the consequences. But the thing about Paul is, he's glad about it. I mean, even when Peter them got beaten and got whooped,
mm-hmm.
they said they were so glad
mm-hmm.
to be beaten
okay.
for Christ.
Okay.
Oh my God! I mean, when we complain with somebody, mash our toes. Somebody didn't speak to us. Mm-hmm. We won't complain about it. But Paul, Peter, them said they're glad to be whooped.
Woo. My God!
And we heard what Paul said when they start prophesying to him.
Oh,
you don't need
God.
To go to Jerusalem, because they're gonna
bound you up.
Paul said, "Listen,
hey,
I'm ready to die.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna be bound.
That's right.
So we gotta be sold out."
Mm-hmm. Just like
and
Jesus
fully committed.
Yeah.
that whatever God wants me to do,
mm-hmm.
wherever he wants me to go,
mm-hmm.
it may not be a pleasant place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if he's going to get the glory,
mm-hmm.
you got to be willing.
Willing.
That God's going to get the glory out of this, and I'm going to be better for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be better for it. Because the worst thing that could happen to us on earth is death.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the best thing for the church.
Right.
Oh, my God. That's why Paul was able to say he didn't fear death at all.
Adventure.
That's why he said to live is Christ.
Die is gain.
To die is gain. He,
yeah.
I mean, think about him.
Mm-hmm.
He experienced them on a killing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they made many attempts
mm-hmm.
through beating, stoning, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul was so sold out and convinced
mm-hmm.
that he is a soldier, and that's why he said he's a slave for the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because he was convinced that whatever
mm-hmm.
it takes,
mm-hmm.
he's going to do God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And so our desire, our what we should be doing is making sure that the will of God be done in our lives.
Yes.
No matter what we have to face, the will of God be done in our lives. When
mm-hmm.
they told him about going to Jerusalem, and don't go.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't convince him.
Mm-hmm.
They had to say, let the will of the
Lord be done.
Be done.
That was
and
a
so
good point.
That's our prayer.
Yeah.
That's what we ought to be thinking about, the will of God be done.
Mm-hmm.
If his will is done, we are safe.
Right.
Everything going to work out. Because if
mm-hmm.
he said, if he gave us promise anything, it's going to all work out on our behalf.
And a good point to even think about in this life, in the natural life, is thinking about just a woman that want to have children. And she just about knows she's going to go through all this pain. But what is going to come out on the other side of the pain is gain. And so the thing is, on this side, if we really, really trust God, we wouldn't complain as much as we do. Because when we are, that was a good point you made. Even though they were going through, he was going through the pain, even though he may have been persecuted and, beat or whatever, even Jesus, still, it was gain. So they wanted to do it.
Yeah, Jesus said, that's why Paul said, for the joy that was set before him,
mm-hmm.
he endured the cross.
Endured it.
Mm-hmm. He didn't see the cross.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the end of the cross.
The end of the cross.
But our problem is we see the cross.
We see the cross.
We look at the cross. Oh, my God. Why did they treat me so bad?
Yeah.
Why did they treat me like this?
Yeah.
But you see, at the end of it, he's going to get the keys of death and hell. Sunday morning coming. So when things look bad for you, tell the devil Sunday morning is gone.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You can crucify me today.
Yeah,
but tomorrow, Sunday morning coming.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
When that thing that holds you down, you're going to wake up and you're going to have power over it.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We cannot pick and choose where we are going to witness that. And what I mean about that, sometimes we like to go to places where we feel comfortable or safe, like
mm-hmm.
you said.
Mm-hmm.
When the Lord directs us in an area for witness, we have to go no matter what no one says.
Mm-hmm.
He said that if you be ashamed of me on this earth, I will be ashamed of you before the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I can just not do my witness in this church.
Mm-hmm.
I have to, I am the church, but in this building. But I have to do my witness out there.
Awesome.
And by me witness, it's not always talking. It's my lifestyle, my body language. I may look at someone and roll my eyes. And don't tell me sometimes we don't know we are doing that. I would never believe that because I know when
mm-hmm.
I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my eyes may slip and I may not know it. Yeah, that's a different story. And if I did look at you weird, come in and talk to me about it. Because sometimes people say, what was wrong with you, Alden? What you talking about? You looked at me like, no, I didn't realize I was doing that because I have some strong whatever going on.
All right.
Amen. So, we see here that Paul, they have no proof against all of the accusations they have against Paul.
And so, Elder Ford, you want to read verse 8 and 10, 8, 9, and 10?
Yes, Pastor, 8, 9, and 10 from the New King James Version.
Uh-huh.
Verse 8 reads as follows. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? 10. So Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews, I have done no wrong. And as you very well know, So here we have a situation where Festus is trying to do the okey-doke on Paul. Why? Because he's trying to appease the Jews, but he's hoping that Paul will be so overconfident in expressing his innocence that he would want to go to Jerusalem. But Paul, knowing that he's a Roman citizen, he by all rights, that if now Festus cannot make a decision, he has the right to be brought before the emperor, Caesar, to determine his innocence or guilt. And now he's making that play. Oh, no, you're not going to get me to go to Jerusalem. That's a setup. Right? Through my faith, God's wisdom through me, I know and I am reminded as a Roman citizen, I have a right to be tried and brought before the emperor himself. And that's what he's doing for them now. And just to go back to what we were talking about, let me add this. You know, it's hard to be a Christian. And if you think about some of the songs that we sing in praise to God and to his son Jesus, when you listen to those words, they are marching orders for us. And one of my favorite songs when I was growing up was simply the song that in the chorus said this, we are soldiers in the army. We have to fight, although we have to cry. We have to hold up that blood-stained banner. We have to hold it up until we die. Those are marching orders. Come on. That is our charge as Christians, because we believe in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So this whole chapter that talks about Paul's trials and tribulations, he is setting an example to us today that no matter what it looks like, what it feels like, what it sounds like, we need to hold fast to what God is saying to us. Because here is a perfect example that no matter what comes against you, God will see you through. Amen.
Amen. Woo.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God.
That is awesome.
Give you a hand clap of praise.
Yes. Hallelujah. And so Paul now has an opportunity to speak. All the time he wasn't saying nothing. Now he has an opportunity to speak. And now Paul already knows that his next destination is wrong. And so Paul, I mean, think about it. The only time Paul speaks is when the Holy Ghost utters him to speak. And when he speaks, it's to get him to the next place. When he said, listen, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, they moved him and said, okay, we can't touch him there.
He said, now, I'm a Roman, so you can't beat me here. Then he take him to Caesarea. So now, you know, the next place is Rome. He said, listen, I need to stand before Caesar. And you know that's going to be in Rome. And so no matter what's going on, you got to keep your eyes on God's agenda, not on your desire, not on your will, but on God's agenda for you, his assignment for you. Stay focused, stay laser focused on what God want to do. We see we have Leon in Q, and you're now live on the air. Leon?
Yes, I'm here. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. That goes for all of us, all Christians.
Yes.
He has a he has a way of doing things. From the beginning, he knew every thought that comes out of your brain, every word that comes out of your mouth, every step you take. He knows before you take it what you're going to do. And he gives you an assignment. You follow him, and he'll give you the strength to carry on.
Amen.
Amen.
Wherever you go, he never. If he moves you from a comfortable place, he'll put you in a place that really needs you, where the lost are. That's where he wants. He's after the lost.
Absolutely. That's right.
Absolutely.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Leon.
He's going to send you to a comfortable place. He's going to send you to a place where you, it's going to try you. It'll, it will definitely try you. But you have to keep your faith and strong.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. So let's, the resounding thought today is, to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, because your labor
is not in vain.
Hallelujah. Is not in vain.
Not in vain.
Oh, my God. Payday, they say, coming after a while.
It's coming.
And they say, only what you do for Christ don't last. No matter what you do, but only what you do for Christ will last. So keep on the battlefield. Stay on the battlefield. Keep working, keep doing the will of God, and your reward is in this life and the life beyond. And so Peter then was confused about, they said, we left houses and land for your sake. What are we going to get? And Jesus had to tell them, listen, you're going to get it in this life and the life to come. So we will not lose anything, but we will gain because God is on our side. And this is, Paul experiences will allow him to write and pour out that we are living off some stuff that he went through. Because he went through those things, we can live off of what he dealt with. Now he's saying, listen, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But live not I, but Christ live inside me. So his desires were all pushed away. He just wanted God's will to be done. And God help us to get to a place where we be designed only your will to be done. Help us, Lord.
Help us, Lord.
Help us, Lord. That this will be a hard cry.
Yes,
that your will be done in our lives.
In our lives.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
So we want to leave you today with just that thought. Lord, have your will.
Have your will.
Have your will and your way in our lives, that we would be totally committed to you.
Amen.
Amen. So we're ending at verse 10. So next week, let's start at verse 11 so we can go forth and see all this good stuff that God is going to show to us. We pray that you have been blessed by this study today. Amen. And the last thing is we want to make sure that the will of God be done in our lives.
Amen.
Sounds awesome.
Praise God for each and every one of you that are face-to-face and those that are online here. We praise God for you. We thank you so much for tuning in, our leadership. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Bible study here at 12 noon on Wednesday. And we really appreciate you being on.
We want to make sure we give our offerings and our tithes on today. You can also plant a seed. If you don't need a seed planted for your own life, you can plant a seed for somebody else, a family member, a friend, or whatever. But plant a seed on this word on today. And pay your tithes. Don't wait until tonight, 7 o'clock Bible study. Go on and pay your tithes now. Pay your tithes, give an offering. And when you give that offering, those of you that are in-house, we will take your offerings through the cash or check and also Square. We have Square available. For those that are out there online, we're asking that you go in and use the Light of the World app and make your payment. And then call me. I don't mean call me. Text me at 770-906-0607 and share with me the amount that you gave so we can credit it toward Noonday Bible Study. If you'll do that, just text me 770-906-0607. A lot of you out there already know to do that, but there may be someone online. And we're asking everyone to please give today. Just go into the Light of World app, download the Light of World app, and make your giving, a tithe, offering, or a seed on this word on today. And you can do that now.
Father God, we ask you to bless this offering, bless this word today that goes, that went out, God. We pray that your people have been inspired and encouraged, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you, God, to dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Keep us, oh God, that we would be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. And we know that our labor is not in vain, so we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We see you next week.
Have a productive day.
Hallelujah.